Hello, Diamonds, and welcome to today's episode. My name is Nalele Star, and I am your host. So in this episode, I'm going to be focusing on an update about my journey of motherhood. In August this year, it's going to be a decade of being a mother, and I just thought I should share some of what my experience has been, but also some of the hot takes, because I've had my head almost bit off for saying some of the things that I have come to just realize and some of the things that I've come to just conclude for myself after being a mama of three for close to a decade now. So one of the things that just recently happened for me is I have come into a new appreciation of parenting my kids. So I have three kids. And I have ages 4, 5, soon to be 6 next month, and the one turning 10 in August, my eldest. And frankly, I'm just at a point where I've told myself, this is it. We are not having any more kids, or at least I'm not. Because I just feel like I want to focus on the kids that I have. I want to make sure that I'm able to give them a proper quality of life. And, you know, sometimes from time to time, people tell me, no, just put in one more so that the equation can balance. Honey, the equation has never balanced. So I'm not going to be the one to do that for the world. But anyway, one of the things that I recently did, I think last year in December, really, when I had a new awakening of, oh, I'm a mom. And I've got these kids, but also I have them for a particular season. And during this season that I have them is my opportunity to guide them, to shape them, you know, to put a little bit of who I am in them so that they are able to, you know, navigate the world more successfully. Not that before that, I didn't know it. I just thought, you know, going forward, I really wanted to like have it in the books, like, okay, this is what I'm doing. So one of the things that I did last year was I just made like broad goals, like in the season of life, what do I want to support my kids with? You know, what do I want to achieve for them? Like, what's the goal as a mom? And I just came up with three goals, and trust me, I think these are goals that I could literally carry on for the rest of my life. But also, I feel like that is what is really key for them, is they need to be fed at all times. They need to be safe. And I need to make sure that they're doing the most and their best at school, and that I am constantly present to support them with that, all the while making sure that they're healthy and they're happy. So the two are like the intertwine or the lesson of the three broad goals. And anything and everything that I do, you know, on a given day, even when I feel like down, I think if you're a mom, you know, there are days when you kind of think, am I messing up my kids? Like, am I doing enough as a mom? Or you see those moms that, you know, do the most and you feel like, should I be doing that as well? So I feel like it has taken the pressure off of me to be trying to do everything and anything that every other mom is doing. Is just to constantly ask, am I achieving my three objectives? If the answer is yes, I'm not saying I shouldn't do more. If I'm able to do more, I will do it. But if I find myself in a position where I'm constantly embattled trying to emulate or live up to a certain standard that I shouldn't be living up to, my standard are the goals that I've set. Am I achieving those three goals? If the answer is yes, then I'm okay. I move, I rest, or I just focus on something else. Also, one of the reasons why I came up with the goals is because I've really, really struggled trying to balance just being my own person as a woman, as an individual, and also being a mom. So the thing is, you can't necessarily take the day off from being a mom, you really have to like demand and claim that for yourself. Nobody's going to come and tell you, you know what, you're tired, you're a mom, today take the day off. A motherhood just, it takes a lot out of you. Like it's constantly, it's a 24/7 job. Even when you're in your sleep, if your child is having a nightmare, your mommy, you know, instincts kicking, and you need to get up, you need to go, you need to support your kid. Even if you're tired as shit, you need to put your tired aside and go and support another person. So from time to time, as a mom, it's just, for me at least, it helps me put things into perspective, especially when I'm tired. I ask myself, am I achieving the 3 goals that I've set for myself? If the answer is yes, then I'm taking that day off. I've also come to realize that so much of how my mom parented me influences the parenting decisions that I make, like especially in the past. You know, I grew up with a single mom, and I think for most of us who've grown up with like a single parent, especially a mom, you kind of see your mom doing everything all by herself and, you know, just delivering results all the damn time. But also the church, you know, my mom, we hardly even miss church. I think she only relaxed up about that when we got a little older and some of us wanted to like branch out into other churches. I don't want to get into that. And other religions, my siblings know about it. But my mom was so committed to the Christian faith. And I think she really, really wanted us as her kids to be committed Christians. I think that's what I would say. In the past, it's lapsed. Like for me, that is, there was just a time when, child, I just couldn't go to church. And COVID just kind of supported a decision that I made. And so even my kids then could not go to church. But now I feel like I've gone back to those roots because I got to the realization, listen, this woman had a million things that she could have been doing. But every Sunday, she got up, she got us dressed, and she made sure that we made it to church. So that's one of the things that I've just kind of adopted. And I said, you know what? Every Sunday, as long as I can, my kids are not sick, I'm very okay, and nothing else is standing in the way of it, we are going to find ourselves at church, but also we are going to discuss what we learned at church. Another thing that I've done is we are currently reading Proverbs, interesting times, very interesting times. Even just for me, I think this is the first time that I'm like reading Proverbs in its eternity. So yeah, it's very interesting to see how my kids relate to these things or how my kids think through these things, especially my oldest. But it's been a time that I feel like both, you know, the kids and myself really value. I guess sometimes my kids will come up to me and say, you know, mommy, are we not praying? And then like, I'm really, really tired. And because they asked, I'll just tell them, you know what, let's revise what we've learned over, you know, the past, you know, weeks that we've been, we've been doing our Bible study and how that has impacted you. Is there a time like you're at school or you're playing or you're at home? And something happens and you thought, oh, Proverbs, this. And we just discussed that. And it's really been fun family time. I wish that I did that earlier because I get to spend time with my kids. I get to understand or see how they see the world or how they process things. It's really been an interesting time for us as a family. I am hoping that I can do more of this. Like, I'm actually looking for, like, kids Bible story so that we could just like dive through that for next year. So this year we're doing Proverbs we're doing Proverbs and Ephesians, and I really hope we get through it. I think we're running behind time because It's almost June. My idea was that we do Proverbs in the first part of the year, and then we do Ephesians in the second part of the year. But so far, I think it has been also great. Another thing that I have done based on how my mom parented us is really I have been doing a lot of research, just listening to audios, reading through some parenting books written by Christian authors on really what is the goal of parenting. I normally do this reading on Sunday morning because I have a lot of other reading to do. So Sunday morning, for an hour, I'm dedicated to reading a book on parenting. And currently I'm reading Shepherding the Heart of a Child. Some really good insights from there. I think maybe I will sit down and do a book review one of these days and just share what my take is on it. But it's been a very interesting read so far. One of the reasons why I got very, very intentional about, you know, coming up with goals in this season of my parenting is because I realized my kids are going to be like going through different seasons of life. And obviously, as a parent, I cannot just say, you know, for the rest of their lives, this is just what I want. My daughter, I think in the next maybe 2 to 3 years, is probably going to be like, you know, a teenager. Looking forward to those times, going to be fun times. And I'm probably going to be changing goals, you know. It's going to be different for her. My son is obviously also going to be a little older. So as they get older, their needs change. You know, their demands change because they're no longer the same people that I'm going to be dealing with. And so I've just told myself this goes 3 to 5 years. Then, you know, I look at what the situation is and we flip. Or even now, if really I did notice a lot of changes, I think would flip. But the reason why I've constantly, like in the last few months, said to myself, I need to stick to these goals is because at the end of my mothering journey, where I have to let loose of my children to be their own person, my prayer is that I would have done enough to set them up for success and planned my new season of life as an empty nester. I want to make sure that I catered for them in every season of life that they went through while they are with me under my roof, that I was there for them, that I saw what their needs were and that I was able to meet them. There's so much I think my generation really, when we were kids or maybe in our 20s, there was this conversation of, you know, my parents always say that they know me, but really they didn't know me. You know, there were times that I would be going through, you know, a depression and they wouldn't know. There were times that I would be going through this and this and this and I couldn't talk to them. And I want to be the sort of parent that my kids are able to talk to me, or if my kids are going through something, that I am sensitive to what they're going through so much that even when they're not able to come up to me, I'm able to pick up on the signs. You know, this person has not been eating as well as they have, you know, in the past, or this person is down, or this person is too excited, you know, just trying to get involved in their lives and just really trying to understand what is it that is happening to them. But also when they are ready to step out of the world, into the world as adults, I want to be at peace with letting them go, knowing that I have done enough. One thing that I have noticed is some parents really try to show up when their kids are all grown and doing their own thing. Like, when they needed you, you were absent. Now that they've figured things out and they're trying to live their lives, you're constantly knocking on their door. Can you come and visit me? Or you're constantly making all these calls, or you're trying to get involved in their lives and making decisions for them. And sometimes I think that's what brings up the frustration between, you know, parents-child relationships, and that creates a lot of tension. I want to make sure that I have done everything and anything that is possible to do. And also during the season of my time with them is I want to have as much fun with them as I possibly can, because this is the time when they are in that playful mood. You know, like right now, okay, yeah, I probably can take some time off and go on vacation if my mother was like alive. If she said, you know what, you guys, let's go and, you know, do something fun. That would be cute. But where you constantly, you know, wants to be involved in their day-to-day life when they're adults, I find that overbearing. Like, even like if my mom were alive today and she was trying to get that involved into my life, I think I'd definitely have a problem with it, because there was a season for that. And I think my aim as a parent is to make sure that I maximize this season, to make sure that when I come to the end of my season with them in my home and they're ready to step out, that I can make peace and that I can actually look forward to be an empty nester. There's so many things that I feel like parenting or mothering has taught me, even just as an individual. You know, I have discovered so much strength that I didn't even know that I had. Because like I said earlier on, you know, there are no off days as a parent. It's not written in your calendar. It's not written anywhere that you have 24 days annually, you know, that you can get from. So you just need to be intentional and mindful about when you take that time for yourself to make sure that you're constantly rejuvenated. Otherwise, I feel like just being on that mommy roller coaster is really going to burn you out. But also something about being a mom is that really you don't know how strong you are as a person until really you've parented somebody or you've gone through something at least. And being a mom, you literally go through something every day. Every day you wonder, like you always coming up with, how can I make these children more safe? How can I, you know, make sure that they are secure, that their future is secure? How can I help them? You know, the issues at school, or school is just, it's a whole ball of thing. You know, how do I strike a balance between, you know, loving them and, you know, disciplining them? You get to make all those decisions. You get to punish a child that you really feel bad about punishing, but they need to learn the lesson. If you let them loose, they become a loose cannon. So, you know, and they become a pain for everybody else. So there are all these things that you need to set boundaries, even just for yourself. Like, no, I need to do this because I am the adult and they are the child. And I know right now that they don't see it that way and they might feel like I hit them, but I don't. And with time, they're going to get it. But also every day you get confronted with some dark places that you didn't even know that existed in you. You know, sometimes I feel like parenting is a whole trauma triggering experience. Like, it just brings out certain parts of you that you didn't even know, especially if you're going through something as a mom. As your parents, you still have to adult. You're still a human being. Things are still going to affect you. And sometimes I hate that as mothers, we are not given the opportunity to just be, you know, to experience the world like every other person is. Like, you can go through a depression, you can go through a heartbreak, you know, you can be disappointed about certain things. And those experiences are going to bring out a different person of you. And sometimes that person is the person that is dealing with your child and not the good person, or, you know, the healthy person or the jovial person. It's, you get to parent depressed. And when you get to parent depressed, you're really irritant, you know. You're not constantly overjoyed at the sight of your child, you know, being in your presence, because you're really in a dark place. So, yeah, sometimes, you know, you get to fight these places, but you get confronted with them every single time, like in different seasons of your parenting journey. But also one of the things that I have learned from being a mother that I really, really appreciate is just humility and forgiveness. Forgiveness becomes a daily part of your life, because kids are going to get it wrong on so many different levels. Like, on level one, all the way to critical, when you just feel like, I'm going to take this child out. But you know, they will test your patience like that because they are kids. So they're going to do things that are going to irritate you, things that are silly, things that are grievous. And from time to time, you will need to forgive. Recently, I went through something with my oldest daughter, and I have just never had so much of a depth conversation with myself about forgiving somebody because I love them. And I just read through scriptures of the Bible to just let me know this is my person and they've angered me and they've injured me. But even through this pain, I love them. And the best way, and I could see that really she saw that she had grieved me and she was trying to apologize. And I was just so hurt. I was just so upset. But somewhere in me, I was having that conversation about forgive, forgive. This has been a learning process for her. It's been a learning process for you. But the only way that you get past it is by forgiving. Humility. Kids will teach you, whether you like it or not, you're going to learn from your kids. So humility, every day you learn in something. Sometimes you get to deal with a different version of your child, then they pop back up a couple of days later. But humility to just, you know, to get through life and be humbled every single day, to know you got it wrong today, you know, that you learned a lesson, that you're not super mom, that you're just an ordinary woman parenting great kids. It's really been an experience. I think that's all I can say. What are some of the hot takes that I've almost gotten taken out for? Number one is, I don't love my kids equally. And I think this normally comes up, you know, in different conversations. I don't even know why it comes up. I don't even think that it should be a conversation, you know, to have about, do you love your kids equally? No. And frankly, as parents out there, as mothers out there, I'm sorry to say this, but nobody loves their kids equally. I don't think that I've experienced that kind of equality in terms of observing people love their kids. I think we're just afraid of saying we don't love them equally because it means that we love somebody more than we love the others, knowing that we give birth to them. But what I normally say is, I love my kids uniquely. And I don't know what that exactly means in terms of measuring that love, whether the other one is at 70%, the other one is at 80%, the other one is at 90%. Maybe the other one needs 90% at the end of the day. What's wrong with that? As long as the person who's getting the 70% really is happy about it, you know? So for me, I endeavor to love my kids uniquely. But also what this means is you really need to take time to understand your kids, get to know your kids. What's their love language? How can you show up for them? What do they need on a certain day, in a certain season of their life? It takes time. It's involving as compared to just getting a blanket and just throwing it over them. You know, there you go. That's 100% love. No, it's what kind of love do you need? What is love to you in this season? You know, maybe the others might also decide, oh, what she wants is what I want. Well and good. Give it to them the same. But one thing I have noticed about kids is they want to be loved differently. And I'm bringing up my children to be able to express themselves. Sometimes it really bites me in the ass, but all the same, I still think it's for a good cause. And, you know, I get chances to really just be told off, you know, I want to be loved the way that you're loving this person. I want you to also love me like this. And there are times when, of course, it's almost like, oh, I want to be a baby. No, you can't be a baby. Now you're grown. Your time of being a baby passed. So I was telling my middle child, you know, he's quite huge, and he wanted to get on my back. I'm like, child, that's not going to happen. Like, this one is like lace cages, so it's easier for me to put them on my back. I can't put you on my back, but what I can do is sit next to you and maybe just hug you and hold you or snuggle up with you. I can do that, but I can't get you and put you on my back. If you want to be loved, you know, physical touch, we can find other ways. It doesn't mean that you just have to get on my back like the other one. So, but it's so important for me really to just try and love my kids uniquely. Also, another thing is I have shown weakness in front of my kids. I know that especially for the generation of mothers preceding us, it was so important to put up a facade and just, you know, be the strong woman, the power woman who never goes through anything. My kids have walked in on me, I think, crying or having a breakdown, maybe a handful, but they have seen me. And, you know, in those moments, I've not tried to hide. I've just told them I need space because I'm having a bad day. Something terrible happened and I just need time to process. So they know that I'm a human being. I go through things. I feel sad because I want them to understand that, you know, all emotions are good and healthy emotions. How we process them, how we relate with those relationships, those emotions, is what the real problem is. You know, if I'm going to mob and sob for like months on end, then it becomes a problem. The sadness itself is not the problem. It's the fact that I'm failing to process the sadness and therefore allowing it to stay for longer than it is supposed to stay. So it's okay to show weakness because it teaches children that they can express emotions. It teaches them vulnerability, and I want them to get that. I don't want them to grow up thinking I was a robot. No, I don't want that. Also, I discuss money with my kids. So when I'm broke, I tell them, babies, I'm broke. If they want something, I'll tell them, listen, I'm broke right now. I can't get it for you. But I have taken note and I do deliver. When I have money and, you know, I've made a mental note of my child said that they wanted this, I make sure that I get it to them. Another one is motherhood, just like any other endeavor, has opportunity costs. So I know you see us posting all these poor photos of our kids looking like, oh, we are at 100% content and what. No, there are opportunities that we've had to miss out because we're mothers. And I feel like that is something that as mothers, we don't talk about enough. Like, what are some of those opportunities that we've had to, like, mourn? What are some of those opportunities where, you know, you've just felt like, I really, really wanted that opportunity, but I had to mother. And, you know, it's affected me. Maybe you became a little resentful. Maybe, you know, it's changed dynamics for you. It's okay to open up about that because motherhood comes with opportunity costs, that you're gonna lose out on certain opportunities because you chose to be a mother, and it is okay. And sometimes what I see, or at least what I've experienced, is you have the pressure to just try and balance it all out, you know, the I can have it all movement. Sometimes you won't have it all. And that's a reality that you have to face. And it's okay because you chose. As long as you're the one who chose to be the parent, you can just try and, you know, pick out whatever it is that you can try and pick out and, you know, let other opportunities go. That's just life. I've really just made peace with the fact that I can't have it all. In situations where I can, I will maximize, and yes, I will have it all. But also, I'm not oblivious to the fact that, you know, there are opportunity costs. That it's not everything that I'm going to do that I want to do because I'm a mom. And in this season of my life, I've told myself I am committed myself to my kids. So it is what it is. So I am their parent first before I am their friend. And I know that especially in this generation of parenting, we are so obsessed with, I want to be their friend. I want to be their friend. Maybe because majority of us grew up with authoritarian parents who only became our friends when we were adults. And we thought like they were the enemy when we were living with them. But I have told myself, I am a parent first before I'm their friend. So I need to parent, because if I can't get the parenting straight, I'm not going to be able to be their friend later. So the reason why I gave birth to them, the reason why God entrusted them to me, is first of all to disciple them to Him, to parent them, to guide them into this world. Friendship is not a top priority in this season of my life. It is to parent them first. But also, based on how I parent them, really friendship should not even have to be a priority. Friendship will come naturally. You know, friendship is just a state of relationship. You know how sometimes you go into a workplace and people who started out as colleagues end up becoming friends? It's the same thing. People who parent their kids better eventually become friends with them. You know, even just as you're parenting them, you become best friends because you understand each other well. So for me, in this season of my life, I want to parent them well. And I'm not saying I'm going to parent, you know, from a point of, oh, you know, I'm the alpha and omega. No, if I get it wrong, I get it wrong. And like I said earlier on, humility, you know, I've learned to apologize to my kids. I've learned to admit to my kids that I got something wrong, that I, you know, that I made a wrong decision, or I didn't figure it out right as they expected that I would. So for me, parenting first, friendship second, because in our parenting experience, there has to be a healthy balance between influencing your child and being the authority figure. And in certain seasons of your life, you're going to have to be more of an authority figure, and I feel like that's the season I'm in. And in later stages of their lives, I'm going to be a more influential kind of, you know, element in their lives, because I would have done the parenting from an authoritative position already. So there's not going to be like a lot of tension even as they grow older, and I'm letting go a little bit and allowing them to be their own person whilst I influence. That is the reason why some people have grown up and they can't stand their parents, because their parents don't realize that season of parenting as an authoritarian daddy, mommy, it's past. In this season of my life, you're supposed to be an influence. So I want to make sure that I'm doing this correctly. Also, I apologize to my kids when I have overstepped my boundaries with them or behaved in a bad manner. I don't ever want them to think that bad behavior is acceptable just because it's perpetuated by me or by an adult. So wrong is wrong. And I actually take time and I explain myself to them. I said, you know what? I got it wrong there. It's unacceptable. And sometimes, you know, like my eldest sister will tell me, no, mommy, it's okay. You know, you're an adult. You know what you do. Yes, I'm an adult, but no, I still got it wrong. You know, so wrong is wrong, regardless of whether, you know, I'm the one doing it or it's another adult doing it. They must be able to spot it out that I was wrong. Lastly, I confessed. And I know as mothers, you know, the need to be selfless at all times. Listen, that's draining. There has to be a way that you pull back into yourself. So I know it's selfish to say, and I think I'm okay with being selfish, but I still confess. I take care of me, and I have ways in which I take care of myself to make sure that every time that I'm in the presence of my kids, you know, they get to feel that they're still a priority to me. But I confess, there are times when I come back from work and I'm very tired, and my kids know. I'm going to ask them for a moment to myself, and I think by now they've gotten used to it. So we have a system, and sometimes they actually, before I even say it, they just pick it out for themselves. Guys, let's give mommy some space. And I love that for myself. I really do love that for myself, because I need to take care of me. I need to be in a healthy state to be able to take care of them. So in conclusion for this episode, I just want to say I have found a new appreciation of motherhood, and I'm loving this season of my life. I think I've had a lot of time to just be honest with myself and just put a lot of things into perspective. It's not something that I take for granted, because I do realize that I have these kids for a steady period of time. After that, they're going to be their own person. And what I do with them now, I may not be able to do with them. So I cherish that. I don't take it for granted. I value it, and I'm more intentional about it. So I no longer think that I own my kids. They are their own person. I feel like lately, like I said earlier on, we're reading Proverbs. So I normally tell them, you know, anytime that they sin, anytime that they do something wrong, they should know that it goes against God's principles, and that's the person that they should be more worried about going against, unlike me, because even I am answerable to God. So they are their own person. I don't own them. I tell them, you are not mine to own. You are your own person, but you are my responsibility to shepherd, to disciple, to guide. You know, I am a resource for you at all times, and you have me at all times. What I want them to know is that they can trust me at all times and trust my intentions for them. as I parent them, and that it's okay for them to think things, that they're not dummies. They can think through things and they can do certain things. But at this point, we just need to learn what the boundaries are, what is good and what is bad, and how to actually make the decision to do the good instead of going the bad way. So I'm going to end this episode here. Please do let me know what your parenting journey has been like in the comment section. Until the next episode, stay shining, diamonds.